Well, Father's Day 2022. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Figured if it was 2022, we could go to Ezekiel 22. Father's Day. You see, a man's life is made up of 20 years of his mother asking him where he's going, 40 years of his wife asking him where he has been, and 1 hour at his funeral when everyone wonders where he's gone. So that's the situation of every person, including fathers. Just like everyone else, there'll be a day when fathers are gone. So it's good to have a Father's Day, a Mother's Day, as God gave us the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Be appreciative. Don't wait till the funeral to bring the flowers. Do that now. Be the blessing now. We never know when. Ezekiel chapter 22. Would you stand as we read one verse, please? By the way, we're reading through the Bible in a year, and I showed you the verse back in Ezra, that when Ezra brought out the book, everyone stood as he read. It's scriptural. Ezekiel chapter 22 and in verse 30, I call your attention. Ezekiel, God was saying through Ezekiel, he says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a negative ending to a verse. God had high expectations of men, but when he looked for a man, he couldn't find one. I pray that you'll be that man this morning as we study. I sought for a man. Heavenly Father, bless as we study your word. Pray that our spiritual ears will be open, and that our spiritual minds would be on the things that's being preached. Lord, that we might learn and grow, reach, Father, to be able to apply to their own lives, each one of us that can apply things to our own lives this morning. May you be pleased with our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a terrible thing that Almighty God, that his creation, the Bible says in Genesis there that he created them male and female. He didn't say father and mother. You start out male and female, but it's a high calling to be a father and a mother. You're going to have to work at that one. You can be a father to a child, early in a boy and girl's life. Many times even the Jews married at 13, 14, their bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. We don't know how old Mary was, even. It brought forth Jesus. God was glad to be able to use Mary as a vessel to bring forth our Savior. But you can father a child, but to be a good father is different thing. And you can bring forth a child as a mother. That doesn't make you a good mother. You look at the state of our nation, you find out we got some poor fathers and some poor mothers. The family unit is the basis of society. The family. The importance within a Christian's life is first of all God. As you read the Ten Commandments, then it's the father and mother, then it's the government. There has to be some rule within a country, laws and so forth. Keep them in that order. Don't have any God before your God, the God of the Bible. Let's get context on this verse that I chose to preach to you this morning. Look at verse 23. You probably have a paragraph mark in your Bible to set the context for this. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy." A conspiracy in the land. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. And they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. And the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor, the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord." Israel. The Bible is a Jewish book. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Israel and the Jew. Salvation came to the Jew first, then the Greek. The gospel. God's not done with the Jew. No matter how much America, under the Biden administration, will thumb their nose at Israel, and not be the friend of Israel. The Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, the promise was given, I will curse them that curse you, and I will bless them that bless thee. Wonder why the things are happening in America. God's the one that brought forth plagues before Pharaoh. Sickness, pestilence. Jesus preached about it in the Olivet Discourse. It all fits together, friend. Where's the men? Where's the fathers? That's where God puts it. Our verse there, he said, there's some gaps in the wall. Need to have a boundary, a hedge. Almost like something down at the border. But he says, I look for a man to take control and get that thing straightened out, and I didn't find one man that would do the job. You know, it was Nehemiah that rebuilt the wall. Did that 52 days, it tells us. And they had to build it with a trowel in one hand and a weapon in the other. Yeah, the Bible talks a lot about weapons. This is the last time, the last days, brother. You better get yourself a weapon. Don't wait till the time comes and wish you had. The Wall of China, talk about a big wall. How long's that wall? 13,000 miles, the Great Wall of China. The wall is only as strong, just like a chain, of the weakest link. If you've got a gap in that wall, that's where the enemy's going to go in. Just like water, it'll take the easiest route. And this is what God is saying spiritually about a man standing in the gap. Don't let that thing go. I'm afraid too many men get all busy with hither and yon, business, and making fortunes, everything else, and we leave everything else go. Yeah, including the family, including the wives and the children. Important to be a good father. I wish I was a better father in raising my children. You see, the greatest influence on a child is often the father. One father overheard the conversation of a group of young boys talking during a parents' day at school. One kid said, my daddy is a doctor. He makes lots of money, and we have a swimming pool. Another said, my daddy is a lawyer and he advises the president. Another said, my daddy owns a company and we have our own airplane. The dad listening dropped his head as it came time for his son to speak. Then he heard his son proudly say it as he looked at him. My daddy is here. and be with your kids. Talk to your kids. Love your kids. Yeah, you rule the family. Yeah, you keep things in order. But you got to be there. It's a balancing act. What life's all about. Make sure that on the scale, God always is on the heavy side. It's hard enough for you, Dad, to live a Christian life. It's harder for your kids when you don't instruct them and make sure that they get instruction. That they're saved at an early age. But it's got to be personal. It's got to be real. Never know about that. I'm going to suggest to you a few points here this morning on men of God seeking for a man. First of all, God's looking for a godly man. Not just a man. Because we got a lot of guys walking around, they're 30 years old or more and so forth, they act like children. No common sense. Quit at any little thing that goes on. Runs away, deserts the family. Children and everything else. You check out all of these murders and all of these disasters that's happening all the time. All you got to do is take it right back to the family. Right back to the father that's supposed to have control of that family. And then the public school that's going to teach them that they came from an ape. And that you need to hate your land, critical race theory. Hate America. Change the history. Christopher Columbus and everything else that goes on in history. The kid doesn't know any different. He's reading lies in those textbooks. History and science. Isn't science at all. Evolution, there's no science evidence at all. That's a theory. Creation. Go to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. It says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand there is nothing from without a man, that means outside of a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile the man, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly? Goeth out into the draught. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. When God says back in Ezekiel that he's looking for a man, Brother, he's looking for a godly man. You can be a male and not be a man. There's a lot of rough and tough men in the world, but they aren't saved. God's looking for a godly man that doesn't have these things. Oh, you've got them in your heart, but by the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, you are forgiven. And God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit not to think on these things, nor to act upon them. Where are the men who cannot be bought? Their word is their bond. Where are the men that have, they put character above wealth? They don't hesitate to take the chances within life. Fear everything. Where are the men that are brave? That won't compromise with wrong. Not lose the individual in a crowd, just looking at a mass of people rather than the individual. Where's the man that's honest in small things just like big? That won't say because someone else does ambitions and not self-desire. The man that'll give 36 inches to a yard and 32 quarts to a bushel. Where are the men, the godly men? Don't have to brand honesty for business. And another, pride, not ashamed to say no when the world says yes. To stand for the truth. Thinks more of Sunday school class and Sunday sleep. Can see his own faults before he has passion to help rather than being helped. Everybody looking for a handout. You get these illegal aliens in there and giving everything. Wonder why people are upset. Wonder why they charge the Capitol. Wonder why everything's going on in our nation today. Is there any godly men? That's why. I hope you're going to be a godly man and live for the Lord Jesus. Here's a sensible letter from a father to a son. How many remember Ricardo Montalban? Remember him? Yeah. Some of you older heads know, you know. Oh, yeah? Huh. He sent a letter to his son. And they printed it in the paper, syndicated column. It said, "Dear son, as long as you live in this house, you will follow the rules. When you have your own house, you can make your own rules. In this house, we do not have democracy. I did not campaign to be your father. You did not vote for me. We are father and son by the grace of God, and I accept that privilege. An awesome responsibility. In accepting it, I have an obligation to perform the role of a father. I am not your pal. Our ages are too different. We can share many things, but we are not pals. I'm your father. This is 100 times more than what a pal is. I am also your friend. We are on entirely different levels. You will do in this house as I say. You cannot question me because whatever I ask you to do is motivated by love. This will be hard for you to understand until you have a son of your own. Until then, trust me. Signed, your father.
Beautiful.
Amen. Job chapter 40. In the middle of the Bible, Job. We're in Job as a church reading through the Bible right now. Job 40. Job 40, verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind. That's a tornado. Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. God's going to hold fathers accountable for their families, for their wives and children. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians that man is head of the wife. The head of man is Christ. God has an order. I love football. I love the Bills, always has been. And you know, the way a football team's put together, you got that quarterback, and he's the boss on carrying out the play that the coach makes up. He's necessary, but he's not the team. You need all of the other 10 guys, too. And just because a quarterback makes all of the money and gets all of the publicity and all of the fame and everything else, he might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But he's just the leader of the team doing the job. You need him. A lot of fathers... Elevator doesn't go all the way up sometimes too. Amen. But he's necessary, and this is the way God laid it down. And a football team isn't going to work without a quarterback, no matter who he is. Better the quarterback, better the team. Looking for the Super Bowl. Yeah, we need some men. And they're going to be accountable, it says right there in Job chapter 40. He says, give an account. Go to Isaiah 46, please. Book of Isaiah 46. You read there in the Bible when the Word of God came out, and then the Old Testament when the prophets were reading the Bible and so forth. Man, they were out there half a day, sometimes a whole day, listening. And we get all upset. If the magical time of noon comes, didn't say anything about that in the Bible. Would you show me that, please? How much do you love the Word of God? How much do you want the blessing of God in your life? You're not going to get it unless you get good things pumped into you.
Amen.
Isaiah 46, please. Starting with verse 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. Even though men are the leaders in the home, God's pleasure will be done. It tells you in Revelation 4:11 that's the reason God even made us a creation. It's for his pleasure, not our pleasure. Praise God that God lets us have some of the things that we have. Do some of the things we can do. Amazing grace is what we sung. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, please. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about his wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Not only is God looking for godly men, God's looking for godly husbands. Treat your wife right. Yes, the man is to love the wife. She's to be in subjection to her husband. That's never going to change. God has said it. He cannot do wrong. And he told you how the family unit should operate. A husband, a leader. A husband needs to be thoughtful. Needs to be polite. Have manners. By the way, I'm working on all of this. Gentle and tender. And to cherish her, especially in public. Praise her when little jobs are done. Communicate with her. Don't air her shortcomings. Not that your wife has any shortcomings. Tell her of your day. As you have devotions, you read the Word of God. It's nice reading through the Bible in a year. Marlene sits in her chair over here reading through Job. I'm in mine, and I'm reading through Job. And we talk back and forth sometimes as we're doing it as well. It's important, though, that you have open communication. Don't, within your family unit, don't say things and do things that will stop the communication. That can happen. It's not good for the family. It's not good for the children as well. Witness that kind of stuff. It says your children will follow you. I asked my mother what God was like, and she did not know. Then I asked my father, who knows more than anyone else in the world, what God was like. He did not know. I think if I had lived as long as my mother or father, I would know something about God. father once explained to his son what a Christian was. After he finished, the little boy asked this searching question, "Daddy, have I ever seen one?" A Christian. It's a shame when a child doesn't know that his father or mother is a Christian. Part of a spiritual legacy that General Douglas MacArthur left to his son was a prayer. The general wrote it during the desperate early days of the Pacific War. He said, quote, "Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Bind me a son whose wishbone will not be where his backbone should be, a son who will know thee. And that is to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here we let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here we let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will learn to laugh and never forget how to weep, one who will reach into the future yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain." General MacArthur, words of wisdom we should pay attention to. One last thing in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starts off with, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So children, when you do not obey your parents, you're not obeying God. Do you fear the Lord? Or are you a fool? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not only is God looking for godly men, he's looking for godly husbands, and he's looking for godly parents. He's looking for a godly father. Bible tells you to spank your kids when they're wrong. I didn't say child abuse. I said spank them. Because God said spank them. You aren't going to get away with that. It's in the Bible. It's there forever. Psalm 119:89, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Not going to be changed, no matter who's president or in charge of kids in America or anything else, or what parenthood says or anything else. God's looking for godly fathers. That means though, those fathers that will bring their kids to church rather than just send them. To be the right example to every boy. Need some godly fathers. When Lou Little was coaching football at Georgetown, he had a player who was definitely third rate, but had so much spirit, he was an inspiration to the team. He rarely saw action except in the last few minutes of a game that was already decided. One day, news came that the boy's father had died. A youngster came to Coach Little and said, "Coach, I want to ask something of you that means an awful lot to me. I want to start the game against Fordham. I think that's what my father would have liked most." Little hesitated a moment and said, "Okay, son, you'll start, but you'll only be in there for a play or two. You aren't quite good enough, as you already know." The boy started the game and played so well, Little never took him out. His play inspired the team to victory. Back in the locker room, Coach Little embraced the young man and said, "Son, you were terrific. You never played that way before. What got into you?" The boy answered, "Remember how my father and I used to walk around arm in arm? There was something about him very few people knew. He was totally blind. And this afternoon in heaven was the first time my father ever saw me play." Godly fathers. God's seeking for a man. God's seeking for husbands. God's seeking for fathers. Godly fathers. I pray that something that has been read or heard this morning will be a blessing and change your life and change your family. I pray that he will. God help us men to be godly fathers. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of meeting together around the Holy Book, around the book you authored, in the pure mind of God as we've read it. Help us, Lord, we're weak. We need to be strong. We need to be stout. We need to be consistent. Help each one of us, his fathers and other parts of the family as well, to have a family that will please you. And Lord, give us wisdom to make the right decisions as fathers in our homes. Bless an invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Take your hymn book, please. Number 220 just has it all in the song. I've always loved it because it's so easy for us to get our eyes on other things, huh? Got problems, you can get your eyes on other problems. Get your eyes on other men, other preachers, other churches. When we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. I pray that we'll learn that. If you need to come to the altar this morning, don't stay in your pew. Holy Spirit is here. He's spoken to you about something this morning because he promised his word would never come back void. He's done something. It's up to you to react. The action has been made. Now the reaction is what you need to do. Let's stand as we sing number 220. Won't you come as we sing? Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the last, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. If I can be of help to you in counsel or anything, see me on the way out. Give me a ring. You can meet whatever is necessary in your life. I don't have a work schedule. I'm like 7-Eleven. 24/7. Give me a ring. Love you all. Love you men. I want you to be godly husbands and fathers. Have a good Father's Day and rest. Pray that we'll be safe on the roads. Don't be hasty, don't be foolish. Be alert. That was one of the things we talked about downstairs, men being on watch. Watching. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I just wanted to add, I brought some radishes. I don't want everybody
leaving
that
baby
face. So.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Just started.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, the front of the church looking pretty good now these days. Amen.
Amen.
Thank Emily for that, and Jim as well. Got the flowers out there. Bev's watering them every once in a while. And all of that. Get the grass cut and everything else. So we're doing the best we can with what we got. Amen. You do the best you can as a Christian. Heavenly Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Help us to apply the things we've learned in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. See you Wednesday.